So what is the difference between a shepherd and a hireling? That's what Jesus is contrasting here. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hireling sees a wolf coming and runs away because the hireling, he says, the hireling works for pay, works for money. That's his motivation. Whereas the good shepherd's motivation is concern for the sheep. And so Jesus is, and he's also contrasting himself with other self-styled leaders or shepherds or whatever they were, who were not actually concerned for the sheep, but were interested in pay. When we think of pay, I think we should think of money, first and foremost, but also self, any kind of self-gain, any kind of personal gain. I'm gaining the esteem of others. I'm gaining honor or power or some kind of a, I'm somehow going to profit from this, and especially money. And this, Jesus says, this is not a motivation whereby somebody will lay down their life. Because there's no personal gain in laying down your life. That's the exact definition of personal loss. And there's the contrast. And so what questions does Jesus want us to ask here? Well, I think that we should ask this question of ourselves, in fact. In the way that we lead, in the way that we shepherd, those that we have a shepherding role for. Like, so for whom do you have a role of shepherding? You know, your children, your grandchildren, your godchildren, your people at work, you got your siblings. And in some sense, you shepherd everyone. It might be too strong a word, but to speak about your influence, but the way that you live does guide people in a certain way, like in terms of giving an influence in someone's life. Now, it's much more true that you have more of a responsibility when you have an actual authority in somebody else's life. But in those situations where you have this shepherding role, where God has entrusted someone to you, are you like Jesus, the Good Shepherd? Are you doing it out of concern for them? I think we should look at our motives. And one of the questions I think that might be good to ask for us is, do I work harder to make more money, or do I work harder to care for people? Now, you might say, well, I work harder to make more money because that's how I care for people, because I need to provide for them. And amen, yes, that's very true. That is actually part of how, and when children are young, they don't realize what their parents do to provide for them. You get a little bit older and then they realize, oh, my dad's working really hard. My mom's working really hard. This is for us. This is for me. It's not, I saw that in my parents. This is not for their own personal gain. In fact, they are losing so much because of us. Mostly grocery money, but also other things. And so, yeah, this isn't to put hard work over and against care, but here's the question. Do you provide, if you work hard to make more money, do you work hard to provide in such a way that it shows to those under your care, maybe especially children, but anyone, do you work in such a way that shows them that money is the most important thing that you're providing for them? Or do you work hard in such a way that shows them that their faith or that other things are even more important than money? Like in what way you are working hard to provide for them shouldn't be limited to the provision of money. Or that shouldn't be the main focus. That shouldn't be, and you can tell, I could always tell with my parents. I could always tell. That it was not about, there was no love of money there. But there was a lot of hard work there. So what's the actual reality in our motivation, in our hearts? I think the Lord wants us to examine our motivations and say, am I working out of concern for the sheep or personal gain? And if we see any motive in our hearts that's not in alignment with the Lord, to repent and to say, Lord, I am not doing this quite right. The other thing is, as leaders, we will automatically be, you're always going to be following someone. we will automatically be leading people toward whoever we're following. That's just how it is. There's no way that we can actually shepherd well if we're not allowing Jesus to be our shepherd. And so what does a shepherd do? He guides the sheep. He takes them from this pasture into that pasture. He leads them over there to these so they can find food and so they can be safe. And if I'm not on my knees before the Lord listening to what he's saying in prayer, guess what? I'm not going to be a very good shepherd. Same thing for you. Because you're not following Jesus. You have no idea where he is if you're not listening to him, listening for his voice. You know, the thing about the good shepherd, Jesus says, I know my sheep and they know my voice. They won't listen to the voice of strangers, but they'll listen to my voice. They know me and I know them. This is prayer. This is where we hear the Lord in prayer. And I think that we Jesus comparing us to sheep, we just need to be reminded, oh yeah, I can't lead myself. Jesus, and that's such a burden. Jesus isn't even asking me to. He says, I'm going to lead you. I'm the good shepherd. Follow me. Are we doing that? I'll be leaving. This is really part of the announcements, but I'll be gone all week on my personal canonical retreat. Every priest is required by canon law. I mean, unless he wants to be a bad shepherd, to take at least a five-day retreat. So I'll be going up north and praying for 5 days and getting spiritual direction. Why? So that I can hear the voice of the good shepherd. Because I can't, if I think that, you know what's more important is for me to be in the parish every single day of the year. You know what happens when I leave? Do you think we have a priest to cover masses? Truly, truly, I say to you, we do not. And every time I leave, we're canceling masses. And it is, truly I say to you, it is better for you if I go away. Right? Like, I need to hear the Lord's voice. And sometimes we hear that in the midst of our life, and we're just praying in the car, and we're praying in the middle of a conversation, and we're praying on the go, and that's pray always. That's good. And then we also need to really get away, to really seek the Lord. And I mean, we need to do that daily, but also there is something to be said for that retreat. And so, are you listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd? And then obeying and heeding and following where he leads? And or are there other shepherds that their voices are louder? Okay. And a quick aside, not necessarily an aside, but just to go a little bit into just the reality that obviously this is Good Shepherd Sunday, and we need to pray for more vocations to the priesthood, to religious life, to marriage. But on this, you know, Good Shepherd Sunday, let's pray for priests who will be true shepherds. Like, the shepherd can't serve out of personal gain, any personal concern. It's not about him, all right? And it's not, or her in other shepherding roles. The good shepherd has to do and say things that make him vulnerable to personal loss out of concern for the sheep. And we need to pray that the Lord will raise up strong, courageous men who can lead and shepherd the church. We don't need weak men. A weak man cannot be a shepherd, because he will see a wolf coming and he will say, I didn't sign up for this. You know, I wish this said, the good shepherd sees the wolf coming and skewers it with a spear, you know, nails him to the ground. It doesn't say that. It says he lays down his life. Has anyone seen the news with Bishop Marmari Emmanuel in Australia? I don't think so. Well, look it up. Now that Exodus 90 is over, I watch YouTube again. He was stabbed in the middle of his homily in, I think, Sydney, Australia. I hear that before they even took him away, he's reaching over to the kid who stabbed him to pray over him. And he sent out a message, just an audio message about this, to address his people. And to address the guy who stabbed him, to say, I forgive you, I will always pray for you. He says, you are my son. He calls him his son. What? That's incredible. he's a great example. Like right now, like just, I think this happened yesterday or 2 days ago. I don't know when it happened actually, but I saw it yesterday. He's a great example of this is what it means to be a courageous man and to see the wolf, you know, not retaliate. There was no retaliation in him. There's not a retaliatory cell in his body. He's laying down his life because he's not afraid. What's the real wolf? In that case, the real wolf isn't the kid who's trying to stab him. He stabbed him 7 times. The real wolf is the impulse to violence. And that's the one the good shepherd says, no, I'm going to lay down my life. That's courage. We need men like that. And it's not just about having the courage to do that, you know, in that specific situation, but in other situations where the wolves come in and they attack the sheep, the lies from the evil one, deceptions, sins, things that other people are accepting and saying, why don't you let this wolf into your home? The shepherd has to have the courage to say, no, that's a wolf. We can't do that. He will be vulnerable. He must be vulnerable. He has to be. We need strong men, and we need to pray for that the Lord will raise them up. And for all of us, as we take on the mantle that the Lord has given us as a shepherd, you know, whether your shepherding role is somebody in your own household or it's people outside, that we accept from the Lord a responsibility. You know, and sometimes that mantle of responsibility, just it's because you're the Christian that people know. When you hang out with these people, you're the only Christian. And there's a responsibility there. And the Lord doesn't want us to put it all on ourselves, but he does want us to, with him, following him, yoked with him, to lead. To lead people. And, but above all, you know, so to be concerned for people. Because that's the key word, is concern. Right? The good shepherd has concern for the sheep. There's no personal gain here. It's concern for the sheep. Why is it so important that we see the difference between the hireling and the good shepherd? Why is it so important that we, you know, examine our motives and see which one we are and where we need to repent? And because the world needs to see the concern that God has for them. And the church needs to see the concern that God has for them. And that concern, they see that through you. They will see God's concern. Jesus, the good shepherd, his loving concern for them, they will see that through you as you lead, as you guide, as you shepherd those whom the Lord has entrusted to you in some way to lead them toward good pastures. As we follow the good shepherd, there are so many people following us. Let's ask the Lord for the grace, for our hearts and our motives to be out of concern for the sheep.
Together, let us stand and profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ.